Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go. Hello, and welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast that fiercely empowers women to step into command presence, own their role, and lead like the strong, capable women that they are. I'm your host, Kimberly Borgens, and today I'm joined with an amazing woman who's bringing great value into the industry of time management. I know some of you are like, oh, I don't want to hear that one, but no, you really do. You want to be here because she's going to, you know, share with us some real talk of what it takes to be a successful woman and utilize time management in her, you know, in your business and in your life. Sarah Reif-Hecking, she's the founder of True Focus Coaching. You know, she has a PhD in clinical psychology and associate professor. She was an associate professor at University of Massachusetts, but she's a time management expert, right? And she takes on procrastination like a warrior. So, you know, why is she a superhero to join our Superhero in Heels podcast? Look, she teaches one of the most frustrating and universal challenges professionally, right? She teaches time management and helps to eliminate procrastination. I don't know about you, but that is huge when you're a business owner. I don't know if you've noticed, but procrastination can prevent you from getting jobs, prevent you from getting clients, prevent you from moving forward in your business. Like, she uses that little bit of psychology, some coaching, and of course, some real world strategies to create a change, you know, that sticks for you. So I just want to welcome Sarah Reif-Hecking. Woo! I'm so glad that you've chosen to join us today, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having me, Kimberly.
Yay. Okay. So Sarah, tell us what, you know, give us an example. First off, is how did you get on this journey with time management?
Yeah. So I started out way back when, I got a PhD in clinical psychology. And then I worked at a medical center as a clinical psychologist, doing NIH-funded research and clinical practice in the preventive and behavioral medicine clinic. So that's a health psychology clinic. And I had the dream job. I was doing my research. I was doing stuff I like to do in the clinic. Along the way, I met my husband, we had the kid, and then all of a sudden, the dream job did not add up to the dream life. Mm. And I was in this place where, I needed to just reflect myself and decide how I wanted to reconfigure things.
Okay.
And I had this moment where I was at work and I ran from my office to the North 40 where my car was parked in this big medical campus, right? And I literally ran, like huffing it, jumped in the car, you know, carrying the bags, all the stuff, you know, all the working parents out there know what I mean. Jumped in the car, drove like a crazy woman and went to pick up my kid, and I was running late. And my daycare provider said to me, I said to her, like, you know, she had a policy, you pay a certain number of dollars per minute, like a lot of these places do. They want to incentivize you for being on time, which I appreciate. And I said, Marie, how much do I owe you? And she said, Sarah, it's not about the money. I need you to be here on time.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where I was like, all right, I'm not walking my own talk. I'm not standing in my own integrity. And I need to figure out how to do something different.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and you know, that was not my first run-in with managing time, right? You know, I certainly way back when as a graduate student and in my, you know, jobs along the way had times where I wasn't doing what I knew I needed to be doing, right? I was fighting that overwhelm, that procrastination, that freezing, that avoidance. So when I started my coaching practice and my company, I started thinking more about health coaching because that's where I was trained, and my clinical psychology interacts with health coaching and health psychology.
Right.
And at some point along the way, I realized what I'm really, really good at is helping smart people figure out how to get the right things into their day. So now I work with business owners and professionals to help them figure out how do you get the right stuff done during your business day so you can create that profitable business, that career that you love, and also have the whole life that you want. Because it's really not just about time management, Kimberly, it's about life management.
I agree 100%. So tell me, like, what are some things that is sometimes misunderstood about time management?
No, that's about cramming more in.
Yeah. Right?
It's about cramming more in. And I have this conversation with people all the time because I talk about, you know, let's put together what I call a flexible template for your week. I'm doing air quotes, people. You can't see me, but flexible template for your week, right? So it's a plan that's flexible. And most of the time when my clients first start to put it together, they cram too much stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And they make a really pretty picture that, you know, looks like a really nice schedule for the week, but is completely unable to be implemented.
Yeah. You know, I had once had a mentor who used to say, look, you know, if you need to add more things, just get a bigger plate. Right. And I bought into that for quite a while. Like, I just need a bigger plate. You know what? There is not a big enough plate.
Yes. At some point you need to say the plate is the right size.
Exactly.
And how do I start to say no to things that are not mine to do?
Yeah.
Or that somebody else could do for me? And that's, as a business owner, I think the biggest up level for most people. And it's harder, I think, sometimes for women to do the delegation because they're so used to being able to handle all the bits and pieces. And that's what got them where they are. Yeah.
I agree with you. That's why I wrote my book on delegating, is like, we need to, as women, in order to move forward in business, in order to grow and thrive, is we need to let other people do the mundane things that you weren't meant to do. You're supposed to be an expert in something specific. All that other is just minutia. Like, you're trying to wade through, you know, all the algae or the, you know, the sea life in the ocean, when really you just need to stay focused on your thing. And delegating in, you know, there's lots of ways to do that, but delegating is one strategy of time management. Absolutely. So what is there a time where you felt, Sarah, that there was a moment that stood out for you that you felt like I belong in the room of successful women?
Yes, I think that, you know, for me, as an introvert, and I know you're a fellow introvert, Kimberly, we bond along these lines. We're what I call really outgoing, shy people, right? We don't necessarily look like we're introverts, but that is how we refuel, by
exactly
quiet, by doing more solitary pursuits or being with fewer people. So I think for me, it was really understanding, and this was actually reflected to me from somebody else. I was on a stage in front of 400 people sharing. And after I came off stage, this woman came up to me and she said, what you shared was so impactful. And I said, tell me why. And she said, I have never seen a quiet, clear, direct woman speak on stage the way you did. And you commanded the room, and it really empowered me to know that I can do that too.
Yes, when we step into our authentic self and we're not ashamed of it.
Exactly.
It really helps.
Yeah.
And so for you, did that make an impact for you when she shared that?
It did. It did. It helps me hold my own when I'm having that moment of, like we all do, the jitters every once in a while. Is this the room I belong into? Or how am I owning my space in this room? Mm-hmm. Which is a question I ask myself probably more often than anything else when I walk into a room and I'm wondering, what am I doing there? Or what is my goal?
Nice.
So that is one of the things that I think that can be really helpful, just to anchor yourself and say, what is my goal here right now?
Yeah.
And then number two, what is the space that I want to hold? And what is the energy I want to bring into this room? And I think as a introvert, I've always had to be more intentional with that. Because I have my outgoing moments. You've seen them, Kimberly. I more often go in and hold my space and ask myself, what is it that I'm bringing? And then bring it.
Yeah. And I think that's a wonderful space in, you know, what I teach about command presence is you have to know what it is, what you want to accomplish in that space. And it's okay if you're an introvert, and it's okay if you're a lot quieter than other people. I'm an introvert, but I'm not always quiet, right? Where you have more of a tendency to be more quiet as that introvert. Okay. So tell me as a, you know, just as a businesswoman, tell me, what are some of the key strategies or systems that you have in place for time management that could, you know, help some of our listeners understand that time management isn't a bad thing?
Well, right. And it's not about cramming more stuff in. It's about creating the time map for your day, your week, your year, so that you're getting the right things in, so that you're living the life that you want.
You plan ahead?
And creating, right. Right. And if so, there's somebody out there, I'm sure, who's saying, but Sarah, wait a minute, I can hardly handle today and tomorrow, which is where most of my clients come in. They're like, wait a minute, you want me to think past 24 hours? That's really hard. And what I do know is that you can learn to do it. And starting to think about your calendar as a time map, not as a thing that you know, kind of throw spaghetti at and see if it sticks, or that you put in, you know, your to-dos or just your meetings. Lots of times people will say, yeah, I use my calendar just for my meetings or my doctor's appointments, right?
Right.
But you actually use it to sequence the best use of your time during that particular day or week. And it shifts. I get it.
Yeah.
That's why it's flexible. But the first thing is to really start to think about your calendar as a time map. And I think that's a different concept than how most people think about it.
Yeah, I agree. I've used calendars for many, many years. I've gone, you know, the Franklin Covey, or, you know, the Covey, the Franklin, then the Franklin Covey, and, you know, then it, digital, like all of these things. And I think that a lot of people will just put all their to-dos in a calendar and, you know, don't kind of look at it like, okay, what do I want to accomplish this month? And how do I work backwards in my calendar to make that happen? Yes. And I think it the more successful you become, the more you realize how important that is. And so if you're looking out there and you're listening to this podcast today, and you are looking to grow your business and be more successful, that's a big tip for you today. So, you know, take a look at that. Anything else on systems or, you know, structures that you put into place, strategies there?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem that I see for most people is they try and copy somebody else's strategies that don't work for how they think, right? How their brain works, how their body works, how their business works, and how their life works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there is this, you know, target solutions that are going to work for how you think and how your business runs.
Yeah.
So a good example of this is, you know, I always hear, Sarah, if I could just get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and work out, that'd be fine. Right. That's then I get my workout in, right? You're giggling because you heard it, right?
Absolutely. I've even said it sometimes before. Right,
exactly. I've said it too. And you know what? If you're not a 5 a.m.er, that is totally fine. You just figure out when you work it in a way that works for you.
Exactly. I'm a 6 a.m.er, okay? 5 is just too much.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you want to figure, you want to set up systems that work for how you think, how your brain works. And if your brain doesn't work the same way your mentor's brain or the person sitting beside you at your cubicle or the person who's training you to run your business, then that's not necessarily a bad thing. You just want to ask yourself, how do I adapt these systems so they're going to work for me? And what's the function of the system, right? Make sure it really works.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I have to kind of like share a quick little story here for a second, because my husband and I are business partners. We work together, right? But he's the night owl and I'm the early morning gal, right? And in the beginning of our relationship, I was just like so frustrated about that. It's like, no, you got to get up in the morning and you have to, you know, get to work quickly and stuff like that. But, you know, what we've had to figure out throughout the years is that even though it's what I want, it didn't fit into his abilities, what he thinks of. He stays up late at night. So look, we're a 24/7 business. So it actually is a huge benefit for our company when I was willing to let go of that. It has to be my way, right? And allow him, because then he's the one who's up handling stuff late at night. I'm a 10:30 PM girl, right? I'm in bed by 10:30, 11, because I'm also up by 6 a.m. and I need to make sure I get enough sleep too, right? And so I'm the daytime gal. I'm the early morning, get up, get things done, take care of the stuff in the early morning. And I think that it's important to understand what you were just saying is, you know, we have to know what works for us, and we can't try to fit into the mold or try to get somebody else to fit into our mold. And I think it's important to understand what your mold is. So I really think that's a valuable piece there.
Well, and I think also to take the judgment out of it, right? So lots of times, and you know, you've seen the memes on Instagram or whatever, you know, running at 5 a.m. and then having the green smoothie, right? Yeah. And it seems like that's the one and only way.
Right.
And it's really not. And, you know, taking the judgment out of it, because I think a lot of women particularly put a lot of pressure on themselves to do things the way they think they're supposed to.
Yeah, keep up with the Joneses, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. The way that works best for you, and it's going to allow you to thrive and have the whole life that you want. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. You know, I think what you're saying is huge. So let me ask you, you know, what advice would you give a woman today who wants to break into your industry and thrive there?
Yeah. So I think coaching has a couple of different components. And what I do is time management coaching and consulting. So I'll broaden it to, you know, consultants and small business owners. But I think if you want to be a consultant or a coach, there's a couple of things. You got to get really clear about what your niche is so that people know what they are going to hire you for. So You heard me say very clearly, I do time management coaching and consulting.
Right.
I didn't say I'm a life coach who also helps with time management.
Good.
Right? Because I can tell you, yeah, we talk about your whole life, but I don't market myself as a life coach. I never have. I'm very, very clear about the specific niche and the sort of person that I can be helpful with. And in my first conversation with people, if it's clear to me that what I have is not in your best interest, then I'll refer you to somebody else.
Right? Yeah.
So being really clear. So that's number one, be clear about your niche. I think the second thing is get clear about what your business model is. All right. A lot of people get into coaching because they want to help people. That's admirable. And you're also running a business.
Right.
So how many of what kind of client at what rate, you know, whether it's private or it's at a group or other things, are most important? Please excuse the dog shaking her head in the background. If you wondered that we're doing this live.
Yeah. Okay. So Sarah, tell us, like, can you share with us a little bit about, you know, taking that time to understand their niche, and then, you know, what is it that they want to do to move forward?
Yeah. So to understand your niche, you want to ask yourself what you're good at, who do you help the most? What is the benefit from your coaching? And for some of you, that's going to be really clear based on your training or your past experience that you're bringing to coaching.
Yeah.
So that's what, and you want to understand your service and how you're providing that service, what you're charging for the service, all of those things, and be able to be very clear with people about the service you're providing and how you provide it. So that's sort of the outgoing message to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can say to them that if you look like this, I might be able to help you.
Right.
And if you run into people that look like this, I might be able to help them. And it's a very specific person. It's not, I help all people with their goals. Right?
Absolutely.
Generic. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are a dime a dozen. We don't need to be, we're not the dimes, right. Okay? No. We're the women out there making a big business.
Right. So you want to be very, very specific. And then the other thing that I see that coaches and consultants miss all the blooming time is, what is your business model? How many clients, at what rates, in what programs do you need to be bringing in order to pay yourself what you want to pay yourself? And then how does that work in terms of getting it into the workday that you want to have and not taking over your whole life?
Yeah, I think that's key, because a lot of times small business entrepreneurs don't pay themselves. They take a little money here and there as a draw. I got money, I'm going to go spend it. No, it's like, set up a structure in your business and pay yourself. Take taxes out now in such a way so that you don't have to deal with that tax bill later. And, you know, set themselves up for success. So that's a key thing. Tell me, Sarah, who are the people that you're currently working with? Like, who's your ideal client? Who do you get excited about working with?
Yeah, so I love working with, first of all, I love working with women. I love working with lawyers, high volume realtors, and also coaches and consultants. That really want to make sure that they're getting the right stuff in their workday so that they can create that profitable business and the whole life that they want. So time management is the topic. But what we do is we say, and here's the thing, you can't learn time management unless you're managing projects and activities. Mm-hmm. So I take it into your life. I'm not just going to do a one and done workshop. I work with people, I hold their hands. We do small group virtual coaching for a lot of folks. And I help you make the behavior change that you think about doing, but you're not doing. And I help you figure out how to actually get that in a way that works for you. So whether it's, how do I get in more billable hours? How do I get in that business development? How do I get in the other admin or additional work that I know I want to be doing, mm-hmm. and have that profitable business? And then also be able to take care of myself outside of work and, you know, hang out with family and friends or do those hobbies, whatever it is you want to do when you're not in the office.
Yeah. And I think the thing about time management, I just want to bring it back to that for a quick minute is, you know, I've spoken on your stage in the past. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about was like simple routines, is that entrepreneurs have a tendency that they want the freedom to do their own schedule whenever they want to do it. And they don't want to get stuck into a rigid routine, because that's not the kind of person that they are. And what I know that when I spoke on your stage, I shared, look, if you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth and you take a shower, that's a routine. Okay. And having a routine of time management for yourself is not taking away your freedom. Can you expand just a little bit on that, please?
Yes, absolutely. And I hear this all the time. I don't want to be locked in, Sarah. I don't want to have to, like, I don't like to see that I have to do something at a specific time. Or I don't want to be too locked in, right? I need flexibility. I don't know when I'm going to feel like doing something. I need to do it when I feel like doing something. And I get that. And what happens over time is that you can understand, and this is why I work with people over time, it's not a one and done, that you can start to understand what your own energetic rhythms are and when you feel like doing particular activities, and you can start to predict that more. Mm-hmm. So that you can start to set up that workflow and that flow of your whole day so that you're matching your energy and when you are likely to want to do something with how you're, when you're expecting yourself to do it. Now, there are times when we can't, right? There are times when, you know, the best time for me to write is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's a really bad day because my ideal clients need me, and I can't, you know, at that time I can never sit down and write because my clients need me. Okay. So most days you can't do that, but could you pick one day a week where you don't see the clients at that time, and that's when you do your writing, because that's when it's best for your brain to do your writing.
So
oftentimes we feel like, oh, I can't do that. Well, and I'm going to ask the question, like, what's the and conversation? If I need to do something else at that time, could I also do, could I be a little bit more flexible? How can I set that up to support myself in a better way? How do I do this and that instead of I can only do that one thing?
Yeah. And I think that's powerful, because even as successful entrepreneurs who are rigid, like emergencies happen, like urgent things pop up. And if you're so rigid in things, then you don't have the space for those urgencies. And that creates stress. It creates chaos for you, for your team, you know, and that's not what we want for you in business. It's not, you know, you can have flexibility and you can have rigidness, but you have to know what it is for you. But you have to have enough flexibility overall to handle all the little things that pop up that you were unexpecting.
And I have a whole, you know, teaching around managing what I call wild cards, which are those things that just show up. And it turns out you can actually predict how much wild card time you tend to have in your day or your week, and then leave yourself enough space to handle that.
I love that.
Really, really powerful tool.
I love that. So look, if you want more information on Sarah, she's on LinkedIn. Her business, True Focus Coaching, is on Facebook and Instagram. You can apply her strategy session with her at truefocuscoaching.com/apply/, and get to know Sarah a little bit more. Sarah, I'm going to ask you some rapid fire questions here. So let me ask, heels or sneakers?
Both. There's time, there's place for both. Sometimes heels, sometimes sneakers.
Got it. Okay. Do you have a power pose that you like to do that gets you going?
I won't say a power pose. What I do is I breathe deeply. I get grounded in my body. I make sure I feel my feet on the ground, and I get clear about what energy I'm bringing into the current situation.
Nice, nice. Okay, how about texting or talking?
Yes, I'm an and. Can you tell? So a text for quick communication, talking for longer communication.
Got it. Let's see. How about for you, last one, favorite day of the week and why?
Ooh. I'm going to say Saturday, because I allow myself most Saturday mornings just to sleep till I wake up. And I love having that slow cup of coffee at the table, that sipping that coffee at the table with my husband as we're both just waking up and chatting and hanging out with our dog.
Got it. Love that. I love that. That's not my Saturdays, but enjoyed that. So, you know, I really appreciate you joining me here on the podcast, Sarah, sharing, you know, just some little tips here and there and understanding time management, that, you know, time management isn't about being rigid, but it can prevent procrastination when you put those strategies into place. It helps to stay focused on what it is that you want. Planning ahead and understanding you still can have freedom and flexibility in your schedule, but understanding how important it is that the schedule be there so that you're planning ahead, you know what's going to happen, you're creating the vision for your business, for your future, right? Your life and all of those things. And finding the balance to eliminate overwhelm, right? I think that, you know, that's a key piece. Anything else you want to add, Sarah, before we close out this session?
I think most important thing for people to take away from this is that you need to ask yourselves, why do I want to manage my time? And what's really the most meaningful and important use of my time? That's what all good time management starts with. And I think it's the question we forget to ask ourselves most often because we're so busy just doing what's in front of us.
Yeah, I think that's great. So thank you so much for that, Sarah, as we wrap up. Look, like I said, Sarah is on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can connect with her there. You can go to truefocuscoaching.com just to see what she's about. truefocuscoaching.com/apply if you want to book a strategy session with her to see if you might be a good candidate to work with Sarah and get your time management figured out, especially if you're a realtor or an attorney who, you know, that's high overwhelm, high paced jobs. Like, why not, you know, get some support from somebody who has mastered this technique for you and your industry. So make sure that you stay tuned for or come back for the next episode. Subscribe to our podcast, give us some feedback, you know, give us a review, open to hearing that. And share on your social if this was a good podcast for you that you think, you know, somebody, you know, the person who needs a little time management help. You know, share this podcast with them, this episode, and join us for our next one. We're going to be talking with a gal who talks about how to be extraordinary in your business. So you won't want to miss her. So join us back for our next episode. And thank you so much, Sarah Reif-Hecking, for joining us today here on Superheroes in Heels. Have a blessed day.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes in Heels with Kimberly Borgens. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgens.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.